I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Sean?
Today, I want to talk about water filtration, or I guess maybe a little bit more broadly than just water filtration, about like how to make water drinkable out on the trail.
So like, I thought we could where to get it, like, and how to make it usable.
Yeah, exactly. Where to get it, how to filter it if you're going to filter it, or how to treat it if you're going to treat it, but how to make it usable or consumable for any of the water that you can find out there in nature that you need to be able to drink, basically.
Okay. Well, and that's probably one of the more important topics to cover, since water is one of the most important things out on a hike or out in nature. So.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I know we've talked, like, in other episodes, it'll come up quite often, like, oh, you know, when you're, you know, make sure you stay hydrated and, you know, get some water along the way. But we'll talk about that in a different episode. And I know we've kind of been putting this one off, or I've kind of been putting this one off, because, like, I wanted to actually do a little bit of research on this one. Like, I know the methods that we use, and I know the things that we looked up before we started going. But I know there are a lot of options. So I really wanted to make sure by the time we did this episode that I had a little bit more knowledge to actually talk about and share with people. So, but I figured, you know what, we're past our 1 year mark. We've got a few episodes underneath our belt. I've done a little bit of the research. I know you've done a little bit of research too.
Yeah.
I feel like we can finally tackle it. So,
yeah, I mean, realistically, we probably should have covered this one before Can I Take Booze on the Trail, but
right. I mean, in order of importance, this should have been one of the first episodes.
Shows where our priorities are.
Right. We talked about food. We talked about creature comforts, all that sort of stuff. We'll get to water when we get
we'll
to
get
it.
To well, water.
Today,
yeah.
Today we're finally getting to water. So,
yep.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought maybe we could start with the method that we use and then kind of branch off from there.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, before getting into actually filtering it, maybe we should discuss like where we find it or how to obtain the water. Like,
yeah,
step,
good point.
Step one,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
you gotta get the water before you can filter it or make it drinkable. So,
okay, yeah, for sure. I think that's a great spot to start. So. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. We're in Michigan, and you're never – I forget the mileage. I want to say it's 30 miles. It might be even less than that. But you're never more – you're never real far from water in Michigan. Other states and other areas, not so much, but we are fortunate in that. So we haven't really – come across an instance where it was difficult to find water. This last trip that we were just on, we had a lake that we planned to set up camp by. We set up camp there. Turns out it was like a 200-foot, almost straight down decline through brush and trees and crap to get to the lake. So we were able to look on the map, and there was a road about a quarter mile up that had a bridge crossing for the Little Two-Hearted River, and I was able to get water out of that. So, which running water better than a lake, so perfect.
I mean, in all fairness, or to our credit, we probably could have figured out a way to get to the lake. It just wound up that the river was easier.
The river was a lot easier, and that campsite was farther to get to than we had anticipated.
Right. We were just, it's like, okay, go with the path of least resistance at this point because we're tired and I don't really want to go trekking through cliffs and brush and all that sort of stuff. It's like, okay, well, we could make it down to this lake and do what we thought we were going to do. Or the easier option is right around the corner, here's this river you can get right
here. Here is this river. So, I mean, if you can find a little stream or a pond or a lake or a river, something that looks like it's got decent drinking water. I mean, if it looks real nasty and it smells nasty, it's probably going to not taste the greatest. But drink what you can get too. If that's all you can get, then do your due diligence to purify it. But, you know, try to have a decent drinking source. We've also,
I mean, because the whole thing, right? Like at the end of the day, I mean, taste is one thing for sure, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But at the end of the day, as long as you can make it clean to consume, even if the taste ain't great,
right?
As long as you're not getting, you know, the gut rot or the diseases that you could potentially get from water by either properly treating it or properly filtering it, whatever method you wind up using.
Yeah,
ideally it's going to taste good too, but realistically, in a pinch,
right?
You know,
yeah. So we've been very fortunate, like I said, and I believe most people that are listening are in Michigan as well. So we've got a pretty easy time getting water. One of the campsites we stayed at was at a federal campground that actually had a well pump.
Which was super nice and handy. Didn't plan for that, but that was a welcome addition to the trip.
Didn't have to go get in the lake and get water out that way. Probably didn't even need to filter it. It's just that happens to be our setup for the bag, so it went through the filter anyway. But that was super nice to have that. So that's another option too, is sometimes some of the campgrounds you have will have some sort of a water source for you as well. So if you're fortunate enough to stay at one of those, usually a lot more people at those because it's designated camp spots, and it's usually, I think this one had like 22 or 25 campsites.
Yeah.
So, and there was other people there, so we weren't really out in wilderness, but we weren't in the city either.
We were on the trail.
I mean, literally, our campsite was on the trail. But yeah, so that's typically how we find the water, and I mean, that's but how I mean, that kind of goes back to find it, but that's where we get it.
That goes back to planning, though, too, right? Like we talked in our planning episode, one of the things to pay attention to when you're planning is what are your water sources going to be along the way? Like, you know, when we're mapping out the path or we're planning our distances every day, we're looking at, okay, tonight we're going to stay next to this lake. Tomorrow we're going to stay, you know, maybe we only want to go, I'm going to make up some numbers. Let's say we only want to go 8 miles, but there's no water at the 8 mile mark. So we're going to have to go to either the 6 mile mark where there's a river or the 10 mile mark where there's a lake, you know, so we plan our trip according to where, at least on the map, it shows that there should be water.
Well, and then we look at it too, like, okay, if we stay at the 6 mile mark, then that makes the next day this far to get to the next water source or the next available campsite. Whereas if we go to the 10 mile mark, it makes the next day a little bit shorter. So you base it on how many miles you can handle. Sadly, this last trip, it was wet. It was cold. It was a little bit miserable, and it was our longest day. So that wasn't the most pleasant, but we got to water. So that was the thing. I guess we could have collected rainwater and filtered that, but
you know, I thought of that after the fact. I'm like, you know, we probably could have just made some sort of contraption. It rained hard enough. We probably should have just collected water. We didn't really have a plan to do it that way, and I wouldn't necessarily rely on rainwater if you can help it. But I think that's a viable option. Like if the rain's falling from the sky and you got a way to collect it,
start taking a rain barrel with us.
Right. I mean, or a funnel of some sort to collect it into our bag. But So like you're saying, or like I'm saying, or like we're both saying, plan your trip knowing that you're going to need water. I mean, you could always, I suppose, try to carry as much water as you are going to need. Maybe you're only going for, especially if you're on a day hike, you can probably take enough water if you're just on a day hike.
Right.
If you're going for a single night, theoretically, you probably could carry enough water for that. I think the recommendation is like 20 ounces of water for every hour you're going to be hiking. So you're going to have a lot of water.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be dehydrated if you carry enough for the whole trip. But theoretically, if, you know, depending on your other gear and what your weight limit is, you might be able to do that.
And I guess with that method too, the longer you go and the more you drink, the lighter your gear gets. So,
right.
But I don't know. I like to have the, the option of just getting the water, not necessarily the option, but just the, I like the choice that we made of getting the water where we can fit more into our packs as we need. And, or we don't need as large of a pack. Cause I imagine we'd have to have an 85 liter or bigger to carry enough water with us for a 4-day, 3-night trip. So,
so we're talking about water sources. Do you want to maybe touch on like the hierarchy of water sources to like try to get? I mean, you said river, since it's moving, is maybe better than,
The faster the moving water, the better, because it doesn't hold on to the bacteria. I think that's how that works, or it's running past the rock. I really don't understand how, because you can technically drink out of a spring. You know, fresh spring water is supposedly the cleanest water you can get. So, lake water, if it's got a current, better than, I mean, most lakes have a river flowing through them. So, I mean, it, or emptying into them. So for the most part, they have some kind of movement. If it is a stagnant puddle or a, just something that collects from rainwater and it just sits there until it evaporates, that's not the greatest. I'm not saying it's not usable. It's just going to need more to treat it. More time on the boil, or more packets, or more tablets, things like that. So, and it might not, like, going back to the taste, it probably won't taste as good as a something that's moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's got movement, I mean, hell, a waterfall, catching from a waterfall would probably be the cleanest thing you can get. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but that's just all I've ever looked up and ever learned, is there's just that the faster the moving or water, the cleaner and fresher it is.
Yeah. Okay. So that's collection, or like trying to pick, like, you know, where to get the water from. And then again, like we've said in other episodes, like if you're going for a long day, you're using a lot of water, no shame in stopping along the way to refill your pack, or refill your water bladder or water bottle or whatever you've got. You know, you don't have to wait just until you get to camp. You can stop in the middle of the day and refill everything if you're going through a lot. But then, so let's get into maybe what some of the different treatment options are. Maybe let's go over what we picked, like I was saying, and then we can kind of branch off from there on what the other options are. So, Mike and I have said, you know, when we first started doing this, we're both kind of nerds and we both like to plan, and we're not super spur of the moment. So we did a lot of research on the different types of filters you can get and what the different options are and what the different brands are. And Mike and I wound up getting, for our very first water filter system, we got what is known as a gravity filtration system. The brand that we got specifically was a LifeStraw brand, although there are multiple different brands that make the same
style.
Style. Thank you. That's probably the best way to call it. The same style of filter. So basically what it is it is a bag to collect water in. You hang that bag from something. Typically, Mike and I will find a branch on a tree or something at about the right height to hang this bag from. That is a bag full of this dirty water, quote unquote dirty water, right? Unfiltered, untreated water. So you fill this bag up, and then once the bag is filled up, you attach this hose, which then goes to a LifeStraw multi-stage filter. It's got several different stages. Each stage takes a little something else out. First stage takes out all the debris. The next stage takes out the larger bacteria and stuff like that. Then the next stage takes out the smaller viruses. And then the bottom stage, I think, is basically just a charcoal filter. And again, neither one of us are scientists, but I believe that the charcoal part of the filter is really just to make it taste good. I could be wrong on that, but
somewhere the microbes get taken out too.
Somewhere the microbes get taken out. I'm not sure how big those are or what filter it's passing through, but basically all of the work is done by gravity, the pressure in the bag from gravity forces the water to go through this filter, which is down lower than the bag. And then you stick your water bottle or water bladder or cook pot or whatever underneath that. Water comes out. I really like this method. It's the only one that you and I have a lot of experience with because it is our primary way of filtering water when we're out on the trail. It's not real fast.
Right.
The water doesn't come out like a faucet. You know, it comes out faster than a trickle, but barely faster than a trickle.
Right. I mean, it takes a couple minutes to get your 11 ounces for your MREs or whatever.
Sure.
It takes a little bit. Or if you're filling up your 2-liter bladder for your pack for the day, it's going to take a minute. So, I mean, grab your chair, grab something.
Yep.
Or we've been fortunate enough to figure out how to rig a little set it and forget it system. And we set our water bottle. We always have that for a camp so you don't have to rely on your bladder. You can set that there, let that fill up, go hang out, do whatever, and then just keep checking on it. But
keep an eye on it so that you're not wasting water. It's not overflowing or something like that.
Right.
But we kind of come up with a little set it and forget it type contraption. If the ground's not super level, stick a twig under one end of the bottle or whatever to keep it as level as you can and you know, walk away or whatever. There's a little bit of maintenance that it takes to keep everything working the way it's supposed to. This filter comes with, like, I'm going to call it a syringe, but it's not really a syringe. It's like a giant plunger suction thingy. Basically, to help get the water started and to, like, suck some of that initial water into the filter to get everything wet inside the filter.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps everything get started. And then when you're done filtering water from the day, the very last thing you do is you suck that last little bit of water through and then back flush it to get all the stuff out to keep it from, like, congealing and getting stuck in the filter.
Getting clogged up and whatnot.
Yeah, so you, like, back flush it back out to get as much of that nonsense out of there as you can get.
See, I'm even learning that stuff because you are the keeper of the water bladder.
Yeah, I know. I always take care of that. But, I mean, realistically, it's a good method, I think.
Yeah.
Aside from it's not super fast.
Right.
That is the only downfall. But when I'm out there, I don't usually need it to be super fast, if I'm being honest.
Well,
the only time that the slowness really bothers me is if we're refilling water in the middle of the day, in the middle of a hike.
Yeah, but even then, like, it's not so bad because we hang it from somewhere. We do our little set it and forget it method. We stop. We have some candy bars or whatever we've got on the trail with us for a snack at that point. And we shoot the breeze and look around at some stuff that we normally wouldn't get to look around at. So it's not the end of the world unless we're fighting daylight or...
Right.
We planned it wrong and we've got a bus to catch or anything like that. But
and the only other downfall, especially if it's in the middle of the day and wherever your water source is, if you don't have a place to hang the bag readily available, we have a lot of trees in Michigan where you and I hike. There's a tree. You basically can't look anywhere in the state and not see a tree.
Right.
But I could see if you're in an area that maybe there are not a lot of trees or not a lot of places to hang a bag from.
Yeah.
I do feel like it would be a pain to, like, stand there, have one of us stand there holding the bag to allow the gravity process to work.
Yeah. That's where some of the other methods might be a little bit more handy. But like you said, we haven't run into that where we are physically located.
Right.
So, If that's something that you feel you might run into, then maybe like that one of the other options that we're going to go over might be a better choice for you.
So I will tell you this one that we have, and we're not sponsored by LifeStraw, so you get whichever one you want to get.
Yeah.
But the one that we have, here's another reason why this was one of the ones that I chose is because the filter at the end of the system, right? So you got the bag, you got the hose, and then you got the filter at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That filter mechanism can also be converted to be used as what is known as a squeeze filter.
Right. Yeah, that's so true, because it'll attach to a 20-ounce bottle or whatever. It'll attach
to a 20-ounce bottle or whatever. Yep. So if you have a 20-ounce bottle, a Coke bottle or whatever, that's got your standard 20-ouncer type bottle threading to it, you could fill that bottle up with dirty water, screw just this filter piece from our life straw onto that, and then you, instead of using gravity, you squeeze the bottle. Squeezing the bottle forces the water through the filter. You then need another chamber of some sort to collect the clean water.
Right.
Now, for us, we usually have a bladder in our backpack that you could squeeze it into, or we both usually take a regular water bottle that you could squeeze it into. So we have options, you and I, that we take with us that we could filter that water into. But and normally, we talked about it before, Mike and I like to take some booze with us out on the trail. Some of the booze that Sean likes, you really, at least where I'm at, pretty much can only get it in a glass container. So I usually dump that into an empty 20-ounce bottle and take that with us. That bottle then, in an emergency, I could fill up with water, dirty water, use a squeeze filter, squeeze it, multi-purpose. I mean,
we'll figure out how to save the booze, but...
I usually drink that booze the first night so that the bottle is good and empty, so then it's with me the rest of the trip. I mean, so, there's a method to my madness.
I was going to say the thing that I like the most about the filter system that we use is that is the quantity of water that it can filter without having to go back to the lake or back to the stream or anything like that.
That is a very good point. Yeah.
So it's not the fastest, but damn, is it efficient, because you only have to fill, we've only had to fill this up once a day, once we're at camp, and it lasts us through the night, through the morning. We're always dumping some water out after we fill our bladders, fill everything back up. We're dumping water back out at least a little bit typically, because it holds so much, which is a good thing. We always have enough. Like, we take instant coffee with us. We don't always have instant coffee in the morning, but it's an option because we know we have enough water.
Right.
So I want to say it holds, is it a 3 liter?
This bag, I just pulled the bag out to look at it to see if it said what the volume is on it. The bag itself does not say what volume of water, but I got to imagine it's 3 liters, don't you think?
That's what I would assume, yeah.
We use it to cook, to refill our bladders, usually to refill a water bottle.
Yep.
Then on occasion for coffee in the morning. And like you're saying, we usually have water that we're dumping back out before we leave camp because we haven't used all that's in the bag.
Yep. So that's the main pro that I have with this system is just the quantity that you can get out of it. It's not the fastest, but you're on the trail. What are you in a hurry for? So that's my thing with it. The squeeze, we've never had to convert it to the squeeze, but we've seen people do the squeeze method. We, on our first trip in the Porkies, we had stopped at a river crossing and we were refilling. We were just having lunch. We're like, we might as well top off our bladders. We still got 6 miles to go.
Right.
All that stuff. So we got the bag out and we're filling our water up, and this couple and their kids caught up to us and they were doing the squeeze method, and sat and had lunch with us. And we just said, here, we've got plenty of water in this bag. Just fill up, like, quit squeezing and wasting your hand strength, your energy, like all this kind of crap.
Right.
So we're just like,
that's the thing. Another thing with the squeeze is, like, it's not like you're lightly squeezing it. Like, you're squeezing it to force the water through this filter.
Right.
And then the kid kept going back in the river to refill the 20-ouncer.
That river was cold.
River was super cold, and then he's not getting to sit down and take a break, you know. And so, yeah, like you were saying, we wound up letting them, because, you know, we didn't need that much water, turns out. We probably could have not refilled, but we didn't know any better at the time.
Well, right.
But we had so much water left in our bag, it's like, here, sit down, just take the rest of our, like, our stuff's all full already. We've still got, 2 liters left here, or whatever we had.
Right.
Sit down, set your bottle underneath this. Fill your stuff up, you know. You can do a lot of water with not a lot of effort with these gravity bags. I will say that the squeeze ones, if you were only doing 20 ounces, let's say, if you only needed to fill up your bottle one time.
Yeah.
I do think that's probably faster for that 20 ounces.
Well, it's faster and it takes up less space in your pack.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about having a spot to hang your bag and all the things. I mean, so like there is pros to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like you're saying, it is definitely more effort to do it that way. And especially if you need to do large quantities of water.
Right. Yeah. If you've got, let's say even you got like a 1 liter bottle and you're squeezing that, but I mean, squeezing 1 liter through that whole damn thing. I mean, yes, you can use gravity to help you. You can, you know,
sure,
do that whole thing, but you're still having to squeeze it. It doesn't have that suction from that syringe device to get it started. You are forcing it started.
And I will say, even with the gravity bag, you know, I talk about it not really being very fast. Like, the less water, like, as you filter more of the water out of the bag, the slower the trickle gets. So, like, when you've got 3 liters in the bag, the stream coming out at the other end is faster than it is when you've only got a half a liter left in the bag.
Yeah, there's something with that equation of gravity and mass and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, if you believe in gravity and all that sort of stuff, I'm sure there's something to do with the amount of pressure,
right,
you know, pushing down and all that sort of stuff. But again, usually we're not in that big of a hurry. So, like, all right, so it starts trickling out fairly slow. Okay, whatever. I got time. You know, where I gotta be.
So, I mean, I think we've kind of killed the filter thing, except for I just wanted to touch on one other filtration option, and that is just your hand pump filters.
Okay.
Just that it's similar to the squeeze method, but it is a mechanism that you connect to your bag or bottle collection device, and it will. It's kind of like one of those hand siphons for like getting gas out of your gas can or out of your gas can or out of your lawnmower or whatever. Yeah. It's something like that. It just helps you kind of siphon, and it's another trickle method. It's not fast. It's bulky. The pump isn't the smallest of devices.
Yeah.
So, but that's another one. It will take some of the pressure off your hands from the squeeze method.
Yeah.
But you are still having to manually pump it rather than the set it and forget it like we do with the bag option. But it will handle larger quantities depending on what device you're filling water up with. Like if you get a 5 gallon bucket, then you can.
My biggest concerns with the pump method. I like the pump method. I think it's a fine method. My concern would be you've got more moving parts, so there is a chance for breakage, right? So, like, if you're – I don't want to be on day two of a 5-day trip and have my hand pump break.
Yeah.
And then that's my only method for filtering water. It has moving parts. Moving parts eventually are going to break.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's very fair.
So, yeah, I mean, there's several different styles. I'm not saying it's a bad method. From my understanding, you can do a fair amount of water without really getting tired out. I don't think that the pump action is as different or as labor intensive as like the squeeze method,
right?
Like, I feel like the pump does a lot of the work, but you do got to squeeze it and pump that water, and I think you can do a fair amount of water with them before tiring out. But again, like I'm just me personally, I'm concerned about it breaking.
Yeah.
And
well, you've got two hoses, or you know, rather than one. You know, you've got one for your intake and one for your outtake type of deal. Like you got the whole movement of the mechanical system of the pump. You've got I don't know. It just, like you said, to me, it takes more to do it with that method just because you've got to carry another something else that will hold the water. Like the bag that we take folds up pretty small.
Yeah.
I mean, the pump is, or the actual filter itself is pretty much the same size as if you were to get just a squeeze filter.
Yeah.
I mean, so
I think it literally is the same as a squeeze filter.
It probably is.
And for size wise, for just for reference for everybody, if anybody knows like a roll of quarters, a little bit bigger than that.
Yep, I would say probably about that length, maybe a little thicker.
Yeah, maybe a little bit thicker, but like roughly that size. It's not huge. Yep. Fits in your pack pretty easy. Doesn't take up a lot of space. The bag folds into basically nothing. Mm-hmm. There's potential for the tube to break. The tube is one of these, like, I don't know what it is, rubber, silicone, whatever.
It's basically, if you have a bladder in your pack or your day-use pack, it's basically the same tube. It's the same tubing as that, yeah.
So, funny you say that, because the connection mechanism is the same as my water bladder tube in my backpack. So, in my head, that's my backup plan in case the tube ever splits.
Oh, it's like, fair.
Okay, well, I've got this tube on my water bladder, too. I could always bastardize that and then keep going.
Yep. Yeah, so, I didn't even think about that because
yeah.
I just got a new bladder because my old one broke. I have the old tube still. Might not be the worst idea to carry that old tube with us.
Might not be the worst idea to carry that extra spare tube with us. I mean, other than I've already got a spare. So, like, you know, how much spare stuff do we need?
Lots.
That's another thing. I mean, water's fairly important, so I feel like if anything needs a backup,
it maybe would the be water.
But
half the crap I end up taking.
We don't take a backup filter, but we do take other things. So then that leads into, I know you said that was kind of all you had on your list for filters, but I actually have two more types of filters you could get. So
what?
The other type
did
of filter,
my research fail me?
Which it must have, because one of these you have, and I know you have it. It's a water bottle filter. You have a LifeStraw water bottle with a built-in water filter. That filter in your water bottle is the same. It is a different configuration, but it is the same water filter that we use to filter our other water.
Yeah, I consider that a gravity feed, though, because you have to tip and then force the water through the filter. I consider that more of a gravity style.
But it's not.
But it's not. Okay, fair enough.
It is different. I mean, technically speaking, it is different. Like, we could theoretically go. It would not be good for cooking because you'd have to suck it up into your mouth and then, like, spit it out into the pot, and that would be difficult for cooking because you do need that sucking on the bottle to get the water
force
out.
The water
but
through, yeah.
If that is the only method you wanted to use for your drinking water, you could theoretically use just that water bottle for your drinking.
Yep.
And then in conjunction with that, kind of sort of the same, but it is a different item, there are straw filters where you can stick a straw directly into the water source and suck water up through the filter. Good for carrying with you and not good for cooking and all that sort of stuff because it is only good where the water source is. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it'd be a terrible idea to have one as a backup.
No. I take my LifeStraw water bottle with me. You do too, but we both don't take the actual filter with us.
I don't take the actual filter, and this is nothing against LifeStraw, so LifeStraw lawyers, please don't come at me, but I could never get mine to work. Like, I couldn't get water to come up through it. So I don't know if the bottle that I got is defective. I don't know if I did something wrong to it. I don't know if
I wonder if the filter somehow was defective, not the bottle.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Because you can get a replacement filter.
For sure. And I still want to do that. I'm just kind of lazy sometimes and haven't gotten around to doing it. But I do want to do that because I want that in my water bottle as a backup in case the other thing breaks.
I'm not necessarily going to put it in my water bottle because it does take up space. It takes up a good four or 6 ounces of space. So when you're at camp and if you've already filtered water and you fill your water bottle up, you can have more readily just drinking and all that. I would definitely make sure to put it in my pack, like in a Ziploc baggie, keep it clean from everything else. And then if something were to happen and we needed that as the filter system, then we would have that option.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but
I think it's good.
But we have other backup methods too, which we'll get to, but we have other non-filter backup methods too.
We do have other non-filter backup options, right. So then it's like, all right, how many backup options do you need?
Mm-hmm.
But again, water is fairly important. So if you're going to have backups, I feel like water is one of the better ones to have backup plans for.
But like you said, it's one of those things. If you have it in your water bottle and you're crossing a river or whatever, and you're just like, all right, let me just get my water bottle out, dunk that in real quick, put that back in my pack, and you're on your way.
Yep.
That's not the end of the world. Some of the backup options entail, okay, let me get this water out of here, pouring them into this, doing this system, and it's time consuming. So,
sure.
But I don't want to get into all that because you've got other filter systems to discuss.
That's the end of my filter. So the water bottle filter and then the straw filter. So, I mean, but both of those are separate things and they are filter options. Me personally.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would not rely on a straw filter as my primary filter method. Because, again, you have to be at the water source.
Yeah.
Or the water bottle. I think the water bottle, unless you were not taking anything that needed cooked to eat.
Fair. Okay.
If you weren't taking, if you're only taking apples and bananas and trail mix and that sort of stuff, like nothing that you have to cook, maybe the water bottle option is fine then. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I don't feel like the water bottle is big enough. I still like having the bladder in my pack because that holds more water that I can carry with me than the water bottle does. But if you're only going a couple miles every day, or if there are a lot of places to refill along the way, I could see it being a viable option.
Yeah, or you're just a day hiker and all you need is 20 ounces. Hiker.
Yep.
So yeah, that kind of covers that again. If you want something that, if you need something that's going to handle a larger quantity of water, I think the bag, gravity, method is going to be the way to go.
I think so too. That's ultimately what we went with. And that was after looking at all these options and it was like, okay, well, this does the most water, least effort, really. And I have had no regrets about going with that method. There has not been a single time that we've been out on the trail and I've thought, man, I really wish we would have went with this other option. Like the water comes out tasting good pretty much every time. And we've gotten a variety of water sources under our belts for over the years. The one we had just this last time was a little bit sketchy and the water came out tasting just fine.
Right.
And we didn't get sick off it. So,
That's the key, is not getting sick.
This is one of those things where, again, I don't necessarily love name brand. Like, I will buy a cheap brand of, camp chair, or I will buy a cheap battery for my phone to recharge my phone with. This is one of those things where I kind of feel like name brand is better than off brand.
For sure.
Mainly because, maybe slightly off-brand is okay, but if it's like real off-brand, something from a different country.
So I would even say that Life Straw is one of the newer brands, newer to the name brands, because Sawyer has been in the game for a long time.
There's several name brands. Yeah, yeah. I am by no means saying you have to get a Life Straw. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if I want to pick a company that I believe means it when when they say filters 99.9% of bacteria out of the water. Like, I want to know that they've actually tested it. They actually have documentation. You know, they're not just saying like, oh yeah, this should be fine. It should be good enough.
You didn't find it on Temu and
exactly. Right. Like, I mean, cause we all know, like, I love me some Amazon. We all know there are sketchy sellers on Amazon. Get a name brand for this one. Right. I mean, for the few things that I have ever said, get name brand for, I really feel like this is one of the ones, whatever brand that is. I'm not saying this brand versus this brand, but I'm saying get one that is reputable. I don't want anybody getting sick because they bought a cheap filter.
Don't put your life in the hands of Wish or Temu or...
right. Exactly.
So...
Not sure I would buy one of these at a garage sale. You know what I mean? Like, it's
I use this for 65 years. Yep. Anywho. But yeah, so I guess we've kind of beat filtration to death with that. Something that I have never done, something that I've always seen on shows I've mentioned before. I love Naked and Afraid, and I love Alone, like those types of survival shows. You know, boiling water, you see that done a lot. I've got thoughts about boiling water.
I kind of have thoughts about that too.
If you're out on the trail, we carry, I think, maybe at most a 20-ounce cook pot.
So I think it's 24.
Somewhere around there. It's like a 3-cup cook pot. So you are limited to cleaning, if you will, or purifying 3 cups of water at a time. And it's got to be...
And then it's boiling hot.
And that's you got to get it to a boil for at least a minute. It's not just bring it to a boil just because that's the temperature it needs to be to pour it into your food to get your dehydrated food ready. It's got to boil for a minute unless you're at higher elevations. I guess the research
one, one
that
to three
I've
done
is
the general guidelines that I have always read. Is one to three. At least one.
Yeah.
I think three is probably better.
Yep.
Especially at higher altitudes.
Yep. So, okay, so you've got 3 cups. It's got to boil for 3 minutes. And then you've got to wait for it to cool down because you ain't drinking scalding hot water. You've got to find something else to put it in so maybe you can get the next 3 cups going. It's just to me, it's just not an efficient method of gathering water on the trail. Now, if you're on one of these shows or if you are sitting at camp and that's where you're staying and in survival mode, sure, boil water if you've got the means to do so.
Okay, but then even on top of that, even on top of everything you've already said, there's still shit in the water. Not literal shit, hopefully, but there's still debris in the water.
Yeah, it does not get the particles out. It purifies it so it kills any of the bacteria and the micro, anything that can harm you, it kills all of that. But it's not taking any of the particles out. It could be crunchy. It could be. I mean, hopefully that you wait and you let it settle to the bottom, and you scoop from the top or however you're going to do it. You're just drinking from the top. Maybe that's how it goes. But again, I just feel like you either have to carry a larger vessel so you can pour the water into, and maybe you take a bandana or some other kind of. I mean, cheesecloth, whatever you want. And you filter the debris out that way. But it just, to me, seems like if you're trying to save on space and save on time, I mean, it seems more time-consuming than just filling the bag and letting it trickle.
But then you got to take, theoretically, you got to take more camp fuel if you're doing the boil over a stove.
For sure, for sure.
Or if you're not, you got to be able to get a fire hot enough to boil it. And then that creates its own host of problems. I mean, I think
collecting firewood, dry firewood, enough firewood,
being able to actually get the fire going, even if it is dry. I mean, I think boiling is a great method. It's like, a tale as old as time. People have been boiling water for a long time to make it drinkable. It is certainly an option. And in a pinch, it'll work.
Absolutely.
For my money, that is in a pinch or last resort method.
Yeah, that's one of our backup methods. We have the cook stove. We take an extra canister of gas in case the main one that we have fails or we run out. So we have the means to do it. But like I said, we don't take a spare cook pot to pour it into. I mean, we have our water bottle, so I mean, there is that.
Yep.
But I don't know. Like I said, it's just time consuming. You got to let it all cool down. You got to, if you're thirsty, I want my water now.
Right. I mean, there's a lot that goes into boiling. I don't want anybody to think like it's not an option because it certainly is an option. But it has its own host of issues that come with doing it that way.
And that's us not being experienced with it too. If that's how you gather your water and that's your main method or whatever, I'm curious to hear about it, because I would love to hear your system, how you do it. Maybe it would save us weight or something. I don't know. We're just not experienced in that realm because of our own internal
thoughts or whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I agree. Like, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, again, this is wrong, these guys are missing something, tell me what I'm missing. Because if I'm missing something, I want to know. Like, if this is your way that you do it, and that's the only way that you do it, and you love it, and it's you think it's better than any other method you've used, please tell me. Like, I would love to be educated about it. Cause
for sure. Any of these other methods. In my
head, I just keep thinking of all the pitfalls of it. Maybe there's some great things that I'm missing.
Right. I mean, I've seen people accidentally, I mean, again, on the TV shows, but I've seen people accidentally tip the pot over and burn themselves and all this stuff. So there's always the danger of that. I mean, with cooking with the water and having a fire in general, there's always a risk, but I don't know. I think that's just an added risk for something that I find, or we have found, an easier solution to.
Yeah.
So again, these are our opinions. And I mean, obviously if you find, other things work, I mean, like I said, we're happy to hear about them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's boiling. Do you want to move on to some of the chemical treatment type options that there are out there?
The tablets and drops. There's basically
two as far as I understand it.
Yeah.
You got your tablets, which you and I do carry tablets as a backup, again, because water's important and like to have a backup option. The tablets that you and I have are chlorine dioxide. I believe I am saying that correctly, but again, not a scientist, so I could be pronouncing it incorrectly.
I'm pretty sure dioxide is correct.
Yeah, chlorine dioxide tablets. So the way that these work, if I can try to explain it the best I can, is you, again, basically gather water in some sort of bag. The one system that I have that I don't want to name the brand of it because I haven't personally used it, so I'm not sure if it's any good. But the best one that I found, it basically comes with like a super heavy-duty plastic bag-type bag. You scoop up a bunch of dirty water. Then you put these tablets in it based on the volume of water that you put in the bag. Depends on how many tablets you put in it. And then you wait a period of time. And I'm going to say a period of time because it depends on how much water and all sorts of other things. So like there's a window of time that you have to wait to allow the tablets to dissolve and do their magic. And then basically what they do is they somehow, not sure how, somehow based on science, separate the muck in the water from the clean water and kind of separate them. So all the junk goes to the bottom of this bag, and then all your quote unquote clean or at least clear water goes to the top of the bag. And then part two of what the tablet does is then it disinfects the clean water that's in the bag, the clearish water. And then it comes with like this clip thing, and you like clip the bag. When I say clip, I don't mean cut. I mean like you put like this reusable clip in the middle of the bag.
Right, yeah.
And then that like keeps your quote unquote clean water at the top from dumping out. And then you open the bottom of the bag and all the junk falls out of the bottom. And then you're left with just a bag of good, clean, drinkable water.
Okay, so I didn't realize that because we've never used our backup system. We've been fortunate in that regard.
We bought just the tablets. We did not buy the entire system. So we did just the tablets.
Okay.
You can buy just the tablets, or you can buy the entire bag system clip everything right. like that. We bought just the tablets.
I just realized that I have put my life in your hands with our drinking water situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't have, you better start acting right.
I don't carry the main method or the backup method. I mean, I guess I carry the stove and the gas, so I got
you
that.
You carry the stove and the gas, you carry your life straw bottle, you'd be all right. You'd make it. But yeah, so this one, I feel like if I had come across this method first, before I had come across the gravity bag method, I maybe would have clicked buy on this method. Because it looks pretty good. Does a good amount of water. It seems to really clean it. You wind up with clean water at the end. My understanding is there is minimum taste from the tablets left over by the time you are done.
Okay. From my research that I've been looking into this is that it leaves a chemical taste. But did you use one tablet on 20 ounces or could you have used that one tablet on a liter?
Yep.
And obviously you're not breaking the tablet up or whatever. So it's probably if you maximize your tablet to water ratio,
yep,
you're going to have less chemical taste.
I agree. And here's what I've read, because I've read the same things that you've read. We have not actually put these tablets into practice in our life because they are our backup stuff, yeah. So we haven't actually had to need to use them yet.
Follow-up episode.
My understanding is the water, like that quote-unquote chemical taste that people talk about, it's chlorine. Like that ultimately is the chemical taste.
Oh, pool water.
Pool water. And I'm not saying my house tap water tastes like the cleanest water either. Like, I feel like my house tap water has a, once in a while, a taste to it. So, like, I hear what people are saying. I'm not saying that they're wrong. And if you are really sensitive to that taste, maybe, like, it really bugs you to taste that. I don't feel like, for me, that would be the worst thing if it tasted a little bit like chlorine.
Well, and realistically, it's for a few days or for a small portion of your life. It's not like right. It's every day of your drinking water. I mean, it could be if you're doing the full North Country Trail or the full Appalachian Trail, sure. Start to finish.
Sure. If you're out there for 6 months.
Right. But I feel like you're doing a different filtration system. You're not stocking up on that many tablets.
Sure. Yeah.
For that
that's
long,
a good point
so.
Too. Yeah, that's a good point too. Like, because eventually the tablets are going to run out. You're right. Our filter is eventually going to run out where we've
right.
filtered so much water that we, you know, needs to be replaced. So like everything wears out. But like these tablets, like you're saying, you're going to have to carry enough to do enough water for your whole trip,
right? Or to get you to the next town that has a resupply stock, or you can hang yeah. out long enough to get an Amazon shipment. So.
And then the other thing that I've read, like, even with this chlorine taste or chemical taste or whatever word we want to use to describe this, like, taste to the water that you get, by and large, the general consensus is that taste is less potent than using the other method, which is iodine.
Right.
So, like,
yeah.
You could use iodine tablets or drops, too. Like, that's a method that's been around for a long time that people purify their water with iodine.
Yeah.
That, from my understanding, has a much stronger taste than the chlorine dioxide tablets.
So, the research that I did, the difference that I saw between the two was chlorine dioxide has a chemical taste, with air quotes.
Okay.
Iodine has an unpleasant taste. Like,
right.
They're not even going to describe the taste. It's just
unpleasant.
It is not good.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing with iodine, like as great as it might be for cleaning your water, back to your like long-term trips, right? Or mm-hmm. like all that, like from my understanding, you're not supposed to ingest that much iodine. Like little
well,
amounts of iodine
yeah, true.
Are fine to ingest.
Well,
I don't think you're supposed to have a lot of iodine in your water consumption.
And realistically, if it has an unpleasant taste, how much are you going to drink? Are you going to actually hydrate yourself if
sure.
you have an
yeah,
unpleasant
if your water
tasting water?
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And the other problem with iodine, from my understanding, again, not a scientist, haven't done my own independent fact-based research, but iodine, while it might get rid of your viruses and it might get rid of your bacteria, scientists seem to say, if you believe the internet, that it doesn't do so good at killing off the protozoa. Do I have any idea what protozoa is? Not one bit.
Couldn't I probably did in my 10th grade chemistry or biology class or whatever it was. I probably had an inkling of what a protozoa was. But
from what my husband tells me, Giardia is a protozoa. Do I know what Giardia is necessarily? No, but from my understanding, it gives you the shits. So that's something I don't want when I'm out on the trail. Right. So, iodine is cheap and fairly effective, but not the most effective, and makes your water taste bad. So, I feel like there's better other options.
Well, and I guess if you don't know if you have an iodine allergy, I would definitely test that method beforehand, too, so you don't get out in the woods and then all of a sudden you find out you can't drink water because that's your only filtration
system. Didn't even know that was a thing.
Yep. Yeah, you can have an iodine allergy. So
okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, there's another problem. I mean, iodine is cheap. That's the biggest selling point, right? Yep. It's a cheap method to do it.
It's been around some of these for other ages. Yeah.
Been around for ages. Our water filter, our primary gravity bag, it wasn't cheap. I'll be honest.
No.
It was not cheap.
Nope.
It was in our budget, but it might not be in everybody's budget. Some of these options are fairly costly, and we've talked about before. Yeah. Some of our gear we cheaped out on. Some of it we did not. The water filter was one of the things we did not cheap out on.
Right.
Whatever your financial situation is, no judgment. Get the method that works for you and Absolutely. Works for your budget to get the water as clean as you can get it for what works for you. I will say the tablets that we bought, the chlorine dioxide tablets, were not that much more expensive than the iodine and seem to be better than the iodine in multiple categories. So even if you can't maybe afford an entire gravity bag system or any of those other options, maybe at least look into the chlorine dioxide ones. If you don't have any, I guess maybe theoretically you could have an allergy to some of that sort of stuff, or a sensitivity to it at least. So, do what works for you, but maybe if you can, try to go with one of the other options other than iodine.
Right.
If iodine's what you got, use your iodine.
Yeah, for sure. And if you prefer the taste of iodine and that's your go-to method, we'd love to hear that too. It's we don't want to yuck anybody's yum. Whatever you prefer, go for it too. So the last option from my research that I didn't even know existed, which I guess maybe I knew it existed, I just knew it existed for other things, was a UV light purifier.
Yep, I have that one on my list too. Okay, tell me about that.
So, I don't know, I guess SteriPen is one of the name brands. I don't have a lot of information, but it apparently uses ultraviolet light to destroy microorganisms' DNA, rendering them harmless. So I don't have a picture of this thing. I can't really even.
I do. I have a picture. I watched a couple videos about it.
Yeah, yep. I didn't get that far into my research to do that, but I'm very intrigued by this method. Other than if it was a rechargeable system and we could recharge on the trail, it takes power. Obviously,
no, so, it's rechargeable. The one that I looked up, it's SteriPen brand. The one that I found is a rechargeable lithium-ion battery. I've never used it. I don't know.
Right. So,
but it basically looks like the one that I found. When you can buy a bottle of super glue and it's the gel super glue, so it's kind of a triangle shape or whatever, and you squeeze the sides. You know that shape that I'm talking about? Looks like an oversized version of that. So the part where the super glue would be, right? That's your your battery, your electronics, quote unquote, and then the long tip, quote unquote, of the super glue tube, that's the wand that is a UV light. Okay. And you stick it upside down into your container of water, turn the UV light on, and swirl it around for, again, a period of time, depending on
like, the quantity of water and the volume of water, yeah.
And, you know, all that sort of stuff. Okay. Seemed pretty cool. I'll be honest with you. Like, it, if it works, and if it works, say that it works.
The okay, so here is my concern with it. For one, it's rechargeable. If it's USB-C, whatever, we take our little battery packs, yep, or whatever. You'd probably need to take an extra battery pack for it if that's your method of maintaining your water. I don't think it's going to be great for volumes of water, like, because then you have to carry something that can you can get a good amount of water in to swirl around. I don't know. I still like our gravity feed system.
So I can tell you, and this is according to, again, I'm sure there's multiple brands, but the SteriPen one, yeah, that I looked up said that it takes 90 seconds to treat a liter of water.
Okay, so you're talking about five minutes for
a 3-liter bag.
Right. But then how would you go about transporting the water from that 3-liter bag to your cup, to your cook pot?
Therein lies the downfall that I found with the system.
Right. So
you still have to get it. Theoretically, you've got to get your water somehow into a different container. Because here's the thing, like, whatever vessel you're sticking into the lake, river, pond, puddle, whatever, right? Like, that container is now tainted.
It's contaminated, yep.
Yeah. So you're going to want your drinking water ultimately into a different container. Mm-hmm. And you need to get it into that other container without contaminating that other container. The other thing with the UV pen, much like some of the other options we've talked about, is it doesn't get rid of none of the muck, right? So,
right.
And in fact, you're actively stirring as you're treating the water. Like, you're swirling the wand around. It's not just like a set it in there and forget it. So you're like getting it even muckier potentially by like stirring it up. So,
well, so I'm going to, again, not a scientist, but the research that I have done, the limited research that I have done on this, is that it says it is ineffective in murky water because...
Oh, because the light probably don't penetrate.
Yeah, there's light refraction, so it just can't penetrate into everything in the water that's going to... And so it can't kill everything. So therefore, as you're stirring it, you're making it murkier and... Like, okay. So
then you're back to probably wanting, you're back to your bandana or cheesecloth or something to like pre-filter.
So vessel one contaminated.
Yep.
Filter into vessel two contaminated, but
yep,
cleaner contaminated because you got rid of some of the gunk.
Yep.
But then you've got a, I guess you could put back into container one and then do your wand or like what, I don't know, but you need two containers to.
Yeah, I guess I didn't delve that deep into my like video watching to figure out how people were handling that.
So I like the single vessel system of dunk it in the river, dunk it in the lake.
Yeah.
And hang it from a tree, let gravity and time do its thing.
Well, and then here's the other thing. At least the one that I looked up, I'm sure there's multiple models, but the one that I looked up that's got like the lithium ion rechargeable battery and all that sort of stuff, it ain't cheap. Like, you want to talk about expensive?
Oh, for
like,
sure.
It is. We could buy two of the system that we have right now for what it costs for one of these pens.
Yeah.
So
that's where, I mean, I'm sure that people use them, people rely on them. Absolutely. Again, not trying to yuck your yum, not trying to take away what you love out on the trail. I don't think it's for me in the sense that, hey, maybe I just don't fully understand it. And that's that can be a drawback to a lot of things that you don't understand and you don't want to do it. So if I research it more, maybe, but I feel like it's going to carry some weight with that battery. A little bit of bulk because of the wand and all that kind of stuff. So, definitely pros. I mean, I mean, UV is probably the most effective thing out there for that can clean anything. So,
yeah,
probably the biggest pro for that is that the effectiveness. But
yeah, I mean, I like the idea behind it for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah,
like, I think it's a good idea.
Well, it's very fast. Is like it? 90 seconds for 3 liters, like
90 seconds for one
or minute. 1 liter. So I mean, yeah. 5 minutes, but still 5 minutes for 3 liters yeah. is.
I mean, I applaud the people that came up with it. I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure for Mike and Sean.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's the best option for the way we hike.
Was it necessarily developed or designed for the backcountry, or was this like for more or less an area that doesn't have clean drinking water and it's just trying to have a faster solution for clean drinking water for its people?
I don't know why or how it was developed, but I do know that it is certainly marketed at least in part, at hikers.
At hikers backpacking.
For sure, okay. You could tell, like, it was marketed. Okay. That's the marketing that I found. Now, is it marketed to other people, too? Probably.
Probably,
but
yeah.
One of the segments of people that they market it to is for sure backpackers.
Right.
So, I don't know. Again, fine method. Not saying there's anything wrong with it. From the way that they talk, it kills everything you need it to kill. All the things, you know.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, certainly has its drawbacks with the murky water.
Yep.
That's true. I mean, they admit that right on their website. They admit that
yeah.
it's less effective that way.
Yep.
So there's certainly things to consider, you know, if this is the method that you want to try. If I was just starting out, if I was giving advice to somebody going out for their first time, I don't think this would be my number one recommendation to somebody.
No, without knowing what kind of water you're going to get into. I mean, realistically, one of the spots we stopped at that we thought about getting water at was pretty sketchy looking water. But
pretty
it was like,
sketchy water.
I'm not sure if we're finding anything closer at this point.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah.
I'm sure I have confidence in the bag that we have. I'm pretty sure that water would have tasted fine. Or at least been healthy enough or clean enough to drink. And maybe
yes.
the taste wouldn't have been great, but it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything that hasn't tasted just like clean drinking filtered water out of that bag. That's what I love about it, is that it almost tastes better than the tap water from my house. So,
well, and especially, like, you know, we said at the end of the day, we wind up dumping some of the water back out. And like when you see the quote unquote leftover water in the bag, it's like, holy shit, that's what we were drinking. Cause like it, you get crystal clear, good tasting water out of the system that we have. And maybe my confidence is built up in this system just cause we have used it so many times and the water does taste so good. But like it does a really good job of filtering the water, and we have never gotten sick, and it tastes good, and it's easy to use, and it has worked every time without fail. I mean, I like the method that we have.
Yeah. I mean, you and I could talk all day long about it just because that's where our experience is. That's where our knowledge set is at. So if you have knowledge in one of these other methods or a method we didn't even research, then come at me, bro. I was just gonna do a follow-up, like if you have covered everything on your list.
I've got everything on my list. That's everything. Yep.
I was just gonna go through just like kind of a recap of consider multiple methods, no matter what method you rely on or what you take as your initial option, unless it's the tablets, things like that. I mean, if you drop a tablet or whatever, you can always use another one. But take multiple methods. Like we take the tablets as a backup. We also have the boiling option as another backup if the water filter does fail. Again, plan your route, plan your hydration. Get to your campsite. If there's water there, great. If you know you've got to pack it in, you can get it from a stream a mile away. Plan for that as well. Just make sure you know where your water or your next water can come from if you're on a multiple day or multiple hour stretch. And if you can, get it from something that's moving. If not, I'm sure your stuff, the water, I mean, most of these options are going to kill 99.99% of the stuff that's in this water anyway. It's just a lot more effective and works a lot less hard, I guess, if that's the right way to phrase that, if you get it from a cleaner source. Your filter will last longer if you get it from a cleaner source, all that kind of stuff. So and try doing that, and then just make sure you're staying hydrated. That's the number one point of this whole thing.
And I guess the only other thing, if I could just like add on to exactly what you're saying, is whatever method you decide to go with, if there is any sort of maintenance required with that method, pay attention to that maintenance. Yeah. Like I talked briefly about the need for us to back flush our filter out to get the particles out of it and that sort of stuff, store it in a cool, dry place, all those sort of things to keep the filter healthy and functioning properly. I would just say whatever method you choose, make sure to keep up on the recommended maintenance of that method so that it's ready to go the next time you need it and it is effective the next time you need it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We stress enough in other episodes of staying hydrated, planning your trip around your water, all that kind of stuff. So it is about time we did this episode, and it only took us a year. it's one of the most important things you can do on your, for your trip is planning around your water. So
So as always, if anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns about anything that Mike and I have said over the course of this podcast, you can reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can reach us on all the major socials at seanmikehike or directly on our website, seanmikehike.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, please feel free to share it with a friend. Wherever you're listening, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. It helps get the word out about the podcast and helps us help other hikers get into this. Mm-hmm. And with that, Mike, go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a hike. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
We'll see you guys. Thank you.
Yep.